97.5, The Fanatic.
This is your home for Philadelphia Flyers hockey.
Rebound, they score!
This is Fanatic Flyers Weekly, only on 97.5, The Fanatic.
And welcome to Flyers Weekly. Jason Mertedis with you once again. Flyers Weekly, as always, presented by AAA. Always open for the assist. And it's the Flyers and the Caps tonight down in D.C. The newest member of the Washington Capitals, or one of the newer members of the Washington Capitals, Michael Roffel. Now, he won't be in the lineup tonight. He's going to be out the next couple of weeks. Talked to Chuck Fletcher yesterday, and he revealed that one of the other reasons why you trade Michael Roffel is because he wasn't going to be available for the next couple weeks to help the team. So an expiring contract. He gets dealt on deadline day. He went through two other deadline days as a unrestricted free agent and was extended both times. Third time, not the charm. Michael Roffel ends up playing north of 500 games as a Philadelphia Flyer. Oddly enough, he played more games than Eric Lindros as a Philadelphia Flyer, if you can believe that. 504 games for Michael Roffel, a guy that was a great utility knife type player for the team, and a guy that you could put in all different kinds of positions, and tremendous guy off the ice as well. So we'll miss Michael Roffel. As far as Eric Gustafson, we hardly knew you. When you were here, you barely played. I'm going to have to look and see exactly how many games he played for the Flyers. I would bet, without looking at the numbers, I would say he may have been scratched more than he played. You think that's the reality of it, Nat? That he was scratched more than he played?
I'm double-checking it now, but I can totally believe that. Because how many games did he really play? Not that many.
He actually did play more than he was scratched, though. He played in 24 games, and they haven't played 48 yet. So there's your answer to your question. But all said and done, 24 games. He gets shipped off to the Montreal Canadiens for a seventh-round pick. Roffel, by the way, was traded for a fifth-round pick, about the fair market value for a bottom six forward at the deadline on an expiring contract. And Michael Roffel and Eric Gustafson are gone. But remaining is Scott Laughton. And Scott Laughton is a guy that is another one of those guys, great off the ice and a good hockey player as well. Very has a lot of different skills to his game. Not super skilled, but he's a guy that's a bottom six forward that can play center, can play wing, and can also obviously kill penalties. He's played 359 games as a Flyer, 123 points in his career. I mean, he's had a couple per 82 seasons where had he played 82 games and not gotten hurt, the pace that he was on was very good. But again, you don't know if he was actually going to get to those numbers per 82. But when you look at what he provides and the contract that he was given, 5 years, $3 million per year, it's a good contract. Maybe a little more term than maybe some people thought, but he is only 26 years old. He'll be 27 coming up on May 30th. So Scott Laughton will remain a Flyer. And the thing you have to consider with that extension, and I know it really ruffled a lot of people the wrong way. And they ruffled a lot of people the wrong way because it was the day after that Buffalo collapse, which is totally unacceptable. And people are going, this is the problem with the Flyers. You extend fourth line guy, blah, blah, blah. But the cost of replacement would have been higher than the $3 million you're paying Scott Laughton. And you give him a little bit more term maybe than other teams would have. But again, you're paying for his prime years, 27 to 32. That's the prime years of a hockey player. And the contract's not so big at any point and where it's not movable. So it's a known commodity. It's a good price for what you get from the player and the role that he serves on this team. And as the cap does go back up, obviously the $3 million will get even more palatable. It's a good contract for both sides on this one. But I understand people's frustration. I do. I understand the frustration of what kind of sign is that to send? What kind of signal is that to the team that just collapsed against Buffalo and has underachieved all year? Yeah, I get that. But there's a business side to it. And there's a hockey side to it. And there's going to be change. There's going to be significant change this offseason. A lot of people wanted to see that change yesterday at trade deadline day. That's not where that kind of change, generally speaking, takes place. Couple that with the fact that, yeah, there is an expansion draft coming. So that change was not going to happen yesterday. Major deals like that, hockey trades, very rarely happen at deadline time. That's something that happens in the summer, and that's no different this time. And Chuck Fletcher, despite what he may say publicly, he's no fool. He understands the problems with his team. He knows that he needs a top-pairing defenseman. He knows that he needs a little bit more grit or sandpaper, you know, a big body that can hold your opposition accountable so the team can't physically run all over you without having the ability to answer. Now, those guys in today's game, you got to be able to play. So they don't grow on trees like they used to, where you could just get a tough guy. You got to get a tough guy that can play hockey and play hockey in today's game. But it's incumbent upon him to find that. And he's going to have to find some other pieces as well. And they're probably going to have to change the culture. Not probably. I think he should. I think that's going to come this summer. But the type of surgery that he needs to do is summertime surgery, off-season surgery. Maybe before the expansion draft. Likely to me, after the expansion draft. And maybe you do throw a sweetener in there. And Jake Voracek is selected by the Seattle Kraken or James Van Riemsdyk. Remember, the one thing that people have to realize, too, is Seattle has to get to the floor, the salary cap floor. So you do need to take some players with a decent amount of money. And Jake Voracek obviously fits the bill. So does James Van Riemsdyk. But it's been a monumentally disappointing season. And when you see what happened on Sunday, they get the win on Saturday over Boston. It's a 3-2 win. Tight game, entertaining hockey game. And then you spit the bit on Sunday. You have a 3-2 lead in the third period. You go out to the 2-0 lead. Buffalo has a good second period. They tie it up. You go to the third. 3 minutes into the period, you get the go-ahead goal. You're up 3-2. And then with, I guess it was 4 minutes left in the game, you're out-chancing them in the third period, 9-1. You're giving them nothing. Then Giroux makes a mistake. Bad icing. Didn't need it. Ends up in the back of their net off that draw. Next, 25 seconds later, a guy who won the Selke last year, one of the most reliable defensive players in the league, tries to backhand one high glass, doesn't get enough on it, it's kept in the zone, turnover, shot from the point, into the pad of Carter Hart, rebound goal. Now they're losing the game, and then an empty net goal. And you go, oh, you got to be kidding me, right? It is embarrassing. And you know, you see a game like that and you go, you won that game yesterday and now it's for nothing. It's for nothing. But the question I want to ask, and I'm going to start with Nat, who's producing the show, Nat Marlowe, and I want to ask the audience is, you know, there's this notion that they're really far away. Or, you know, so a lot of people say, blow it all up, start over, they're so far away. First of all, you don't blow it up. You can't blow it up. That's not the way it works. You can't just ship guys off. You got to find a dance partner. You don't tank in hockey because that doesn't work. So it's not like the NBA. So where are they? Are they really far away? Because, look, if you're going to – we live in the moment. We live in the moment right now. And this season – has been incredibly disappointing in total. Now, they are a team that finished January and February with a record of 11-4-3. So if you want to use March and they collapsed in March, you also have to consider January and February. And you also have to consider recency. Last year, they were a pretty good team. They were a really good team. They didn't lose back-to-back games since, I think, January 3rd until the bubble. In the second round against the Islanders. Did all those players just forget how to play? No. Sometimes you have a confluence of poor play and it's contagious to use, oddly enough, during a pandemic. But are they that far away? Now, I asked Chuck Fletcher about this when I spoke with him yesterday. I said, I think you have talent here, but does the talent fit? You know, having talent is great, but talent has to fit. It's like a puzzle. And you can have all these great pieces, but if they don't fit together to make a beautiful picture of some cascading waterfall, then who gives a damn, right? Talent has to be able to play with other talent. But it was like Allen Iverson was incredibly talented. And he had some talented players that were here. Stackhouse was here, or you look at Larry Hughes. Well, they couldn't play with him. He was ball dominant. Well, sports are different. So he had to find talent that was actually less talent than those other players to be able to play with him because of the way he played. So the pieces had to fit. And when they went out, and Larry Brown and Billy King, when they went out and they put that team together with Tyrone Hill and Theo Ratliff and Eric Snow and Aaron McKee, it all fit. Everybody knew their role, and it made a beautiful cascading waterfall picture of a puzzle, 5,000-piecer, right? But if the pieces don't fit, then you got to be prepared to move out talent, bring in new talent that fits. It's the roster construction. Now, Chuck Fletcher did say in his press conference yesterday that he has assets. He didn't want to make a bunch of deals at the deadline because, first of all, the deadline is always silly season, right? So he didn't want to just, you know, he said we may need some of the assets to fill the needs going forward. Now, he does have assets. He's got all his draft picks. He has a lot of well-thought-of prospects. And all of those young players, and you can use those as what I've termed as organizational currency to get deals done, especially in a flat cap world. Those two elements, prospects, players on entry-level contracts, and draft picks are worth more than they've ever been worth before. Now, why is that? Flat cap? Absolutely. We don't know when the cap's going back up. So to have cost certainty and low cost certainty is incredibly, incredibly valuable. Now Chuck Fletcher's got to go into this offseason. He's got to figure out a strategic plan, and he has to execute it. And he has to execute it flawlessly. But the Flyers have been in this position before where they're at a crossroads. Now you may say, well, they've been at this crossroads for a long time. Nothing has changed. To an extent, you're right. But part of the Hextall years of building up the prospect pool, and I know people are going, well, we overvalued all those guys. They're not any good anyway. I thought he had all this great D coming. Well, this is when you cash in on that depth. I think we'll see Cam York this season. We may see Zamula this season. We're going to see Tanner Lozinski the rest of the way. I think we'll see Wade Allison. I think we'll see Sam Moran, although I don't think Sam's back here next year. I think he's going to try and get as much data and information with the remaining games of this season to see what he has. So when he goes into the offseason, he goes, I know what this guy is. I know what this guy is. I'm still not sure what this guy is. Maybe Phil Myers. I'm still not sure what Phil is. He's intriguing. Hey, maybe that's a piece I consider moving. Just signed him to a restricted free agent contract last year. It's not very much money. He's got value. He's well thought of. I protect him so I can trade him and get something. Or I look at, hey, is Morgan Frost ready to, is there a slot that opens up that Morgan Frost fits in perfectly? If not, and I can't just go out and sign Dougie Hamilton, I got to get into the trade market to find a number one D, I may have to use Morgan Frost in the number one pick to go out and get something I need. But what the general manager does know is that he does need a top pair defenseman, because I can't find a team in history that had success without having a legit top pairing, especially in today's skill game. So as I look at the whole thing, where are they? Are they light years away? And remember, this is a team that was one game away from going to a conference final last year, and since November had the second best record in the Eastern Conference. So it's not like they haven't been decent in 7 years, or they're the Buffalo Sabres, who haven't made the playoffs in a decade. So, and again, with all of these players that are on the team, for the most part, except Matt Niskanen, the coach who was a semifinalist for the Jack Adams last year, Alain Vigneault, he came in second in the voting. Did he just all of a sudden forget how to coach? Am I supposed to believe that? This year has stunk, and it's disappointing. But I wonder how far you think they're away. Nat, how far do you think they're away?
I actually don't think they're as far away as people think they are. I actually think they're closer now than how they were at the end of the 2018-19 season. And they were a bad hockey team then, mostly because of just the amount of inconsistency. At least with the Flyers this season, they're whenever you see them mess up a play on the ice, it's almost consistently the exact same thing. I think that's easier to fix as opposed to inconsistency.
It's a good point. Yeah, it's an interesting angle. You're absolutely right. I think they're closer now than they were then as well. And look, there's big question marks though, right? There's question marks on a guy like Travis Konechny, who's had a bit of a down year and a very erratic year, really since the pause last year. Didn't score in the bubble. We know the whole thing. He was on a 29-goal, 30-goal pace last season. He had 24 goals in 66 games. He had 24 goals in back-to-back seasons. At per 82, again, that he would have been a 30-goal scorer last year. But he only played 66 games, and the league obviously shut down. But, you know, he's only got 9 goals this season. He's got 28 points in 35 games. He's heated up of late, and he's playing a lot better. He did have COVID, so I don't know how much that affected him. We'll never know. But he's not a guy. I know his name came up yesterday, along with Nolan Patrick, as a guy to trade. And a lot of people just want to cast him aside really quick. And I just said, be careful about that. He could be one of those ones you regret. Look, I'm not saying he's Justin Williams, and I'm not saying he's Patrick Sharp. He might be better than Patrick Sharp. I mean, I know Patrick Sharp had some good years and you know, won some cups there in Chicago. But TK's a pretty good player. And just because it hasn't gone right for him in this situation with the pandemic, I mean, he's a young man on a very, very decent contract. He's 24. Just turned 24 last month. So that's a guy that I would look at. And look, if you want to get some good value in return, okay. You know, he'll yield you a nice return. All right, here's the number. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I want to also throw some names to people on the phones and categorize a player that as I throw them to you. And you have 5 different categories to put the player in, all right? All right, here's the categories, Nat. If I give you, say, I'll just give you Ivan Provorov. I'll make it an easy one. And there's 5 categories. Would you, A, move forward with him? B, still believe in him? C, done with him? D, still intrigued but need to see more? Or E, must keep?
The last one, must keep.
Okay, that's an easy one, right? I just want whatever category, because like if we bring up like Jake Voracek, some people may go, hey, I still believe. A lot of people be like, dude, I'm done with him. I'm done with a pass-first winger. Yeah, some people may say still intrigued.
Yeah, Voracek's a weird one because you almost, in a situation with him where you almost are forced to believe because of the contract. His contract is going to be very, very difficult to move. So as much as people want
to, Seattle may be interested.
Oh.
That's not as difficult as you might think.
Maybe the Flyers looking to him as being unprotected.
Oh, yeah, he's absolutely unprotected.
That could be a good option for them.
Okay, the protected guys, I mean, you're protecting Couturier, Giroux, and Hayes you have to protect. You're protecting Scott Laughton. You're going to protect... where's my piece of paper? I just lost my piece of paper. I had it here. You're also going to protect Nolan Patrick, but that doesn't mean you're not going to trade him. You can move him. Those are the guys offensively. Your defense, you're going to protect Provorov, Myers, and Sanheim. You're going to protect 7 and 3. That's going to be the combination platter. All right, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. I realize it's a very frustrating time right now for Flyer fans. I'm frustrated, too. Because you know what I'm tired of? I'll tell you what I'm tired of. Sit down and get comfortable. I'm going to be here a while. No. you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of going, yeah, but next year is going to be really good. Or, yeah, but in a couple of years when this group comes, no, I'm just so tired of that. I'm like, it's go time. Maybe it's because I just turned 49, and I'm doing this, like, countdown to 50 thing in my own head. And I know 50's whatever. It feels old when you're in it. I mean, 10 years from now, it'll feel young to me. But it's like it's go time here. Like, it's been a while. Let's go. You've had a chance to stock the cupboards and batten down all that crap, right? Let's, like, start adding a little risk to the franchise and go for it. And if you fail going for it, I don't care. I'd rather be successful, but I'm just tired of the not going at all mode. And I don't know if that Nat is because I'm just turning 50, and in 50 weeks from now, I have no idea. Literally 50 weeks from now, I'll be 50.
Well, like you, I'm about half your age, but one thing I'm tired of hearing is, oh, this guy has so much potential. Well, I don't want potential. I want the Philadelphia Flyers to win a Stanley Cup. I want the potential to win a cup. I want the actual thing.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I thought we were on that plan, that pace last year, that trajectory, but that's why this year is even harder. All right, 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in, 610-632-0975. It is Flyers Weekly. Jason Martinez with you. We're here until Flyers Caps coming up at 7 o'clock. Tim Saunders and Steve Coates will have all the play-by-play action for you. And Flyers Weekly is presented by AAA. Always open for the assist. We're back after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
This is Fanatic Flyers Weekly.
And a friendly score on the rebound. Claude Giroux deposits it into the empty goal.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 97.5 The Fanatic. It is Flyers Weekly. Jason Martinez with you. Flyers Weekly presented by AAA. Always open for the assist. And I got to tell you that our 6 o'clock hour is brought to you by Family Company and Jewelers. Visit them on Route 70 in Marlton, New Jersey, or at familyjewelers.com. That is South Jersey's diamond destination. So here's the phone number, 610-632-0975. And the question's real simple. How far are they away? I don't think they're, like, knocking on the door, right? I don't. I think that they weren't as close as we thought they were last year, and they're not as far away as we think they are right now. But that's an individual assessment. I don't think they're as close as we thought they were last year. We got carried away. I mean, I still hear people say, dude, they were number one seed in the East last year. No, they weren't. That was a Bobo number one seed. That was a little mini tournament that meant nothing to determine seeding inside a 2014 tournament. So they weren't really a number one seed. They were number two seed in their division, a point back of the Washington Capitals. They were a good team. They weren't a great team. Greatness would have been achieved in the playoffs. That's where you achieve greatness. They got to the second round. They got knocked out. They were one win away from getting to a conference final. That's not great. That's good. But that's not great. So where are they in relation to where they need to be a really good team that can get to a conference final than a cup final? Where's the hang-ups? I think that the general manager is going to perform two major moves this summer. Two. That are going to change the face of the franchise. Giroux's not going anywhere. Couturier's not going anywhere. The guys that I think that could be moved, obviously Voracek, obviously JVR, Sanheim, Myers, I think could be moved. Travis Konecny, I think could be moved. I'm not looking to move him, but if a guy calls me about him, I'm not slamming the phone down and hanging up on him. There's only literally two guys I probably slam the phone down on. But again, nobody's untradeable. So let's be honest there. But I'm really not entertaining trading Sean Couturier, and I'm really not entertaining trading Ivan Provorov and the goalie. So I'm going to move forward with those three. Anybody else that they ask about, though? Anybody else gets asked about? I'm going, okay, what are you thinking? What do you think we should do? What are you willing to offer? look, a lot of those conversations have already taken place, like yesterday, and for the last 2 weeks leading up to the trade deadline. A lot of groundwork gets laid leading up to the trade deadline for the offseason. It's a time to let teams know who might be available. And that's a little bit of a complicated deal. Let's revisit that in the offseason. I think that's what will happen. All right, let's get it to the phone. 610-632-0975. We go to Bob in Westchester, joins us on Flyers Weekly on the Fanatic. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Jace. What's going on, man?
How you doing, man?
Doing good, doing good. Just want to kind of expand on your comment before you went to break. You know, going into every year, you know, I have the same feeling you do, thinking, you know, this could be their year, this could be their year, you know, and getting let down, you know, every year, you know what I mean? It's just been so long since we've had that run. And I think a key part into this year, I think there was four things, you know, I think this year stemmed and could have been great, you know, going into the year with, you know, Carter Hart having a good year one, Nolan Patrick, you know, coming back, you know, and having a decent solid year two, Lindblom coming, you know, coming back and recovering from his cancer and his leukemia and having, you know, kind of taken where he left off, you know, 2 years ago. And then also Myers, you know, expanding on his role. And none of those four things, you know, in my opinion, happened this year. You know,
yeah, for a variance of reasons too, right?
Yeah.
Like, I think, I think we always want to put kind of Nolan and Oscar in the same boat, but it's far different. They're both coming off an extended period of time without playing hockey. Nolan more so than Oscar. But Oscar's body went through, and you can see it when he's fatigued, his muscle, like, he's not nearly as big and muscular as he was. That's going to take a regular offseason for him to rebuild his frame.
You can definitely see it in his play from where he left off, you know.
Yeah, not as strong on the boards, right?
Correct. And that's a big part of his game. And you see him in front of the net, all the goals he's had this year, for, you know, mucking and grinding in front of the net where he was, you know, a key part of that, you know, before he end up getting sick or whatnot. But
the thing about Patrick that drives us crazy, though, Bob, is this. Is, like, you see him stride up the ice. You see the puck skills he has. You see the raw talent that's there. But it just doesn't look like there's any ass in his game.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
He doesn't have – I don't think he's got that Philly mentality. He's got the size. He's got the strength. Seems like he's got the strength, but I don't know if he's got that grittiness. You know what I mean?
I don't even look at that as a Philly thing. Like, are you a competitor or not, you know?
Correct.
Like, to me, if you're a professional athlete and you want to be good at the professional level, you got to, like, you got to be a competitor. He doesn't look like he competes enough.
Yeah, I see that. And do you think they got a lot of the same, you know, a lot of the same type players on the back end? I mean, you got Myers, Sanheim, taller, bigger guys, not bigger guys, kind of scrawny looking guys. And then you have Provorov and Gostisbehere, you know, with, you know, kind of offensive minded with Gostisbehere.
I think a lot of the same similarities,
man.
To me, the similarity is not in stature. It's in skill set to an extent, but in age.
Yep. Very
you
offensive.
You need to have veterans.
It's not that solid defensive, you know, pairing, like you said, you know, on that back end to pair with Provorov.
Yeah. I mean, Provorov's too young for that role. He's not there yet. Thanks for the call, Bobby. Enjoy the game tonight. I mean, that's the thing to me. You need, like, Justin Braun's great to have there as a third pairing guy. Like, I think that's a perfect role for him. I really do. And look, the way Ghost is playing lately and putting up points, he can play on my team in a third pairing power play specialist if he does that. I can't rely on him to be a defensive guy. But you need to add a veteran to the top pair. You need it. Bill in Newtown Square is on Flyers Weekly. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Jason. How are you?
Good, man.
Hey, real quick, I called you earlier this year, and a couple things. Number one, they, and I told you earlier when I called you, and you poo-pod me, they do not have a legitimate player on the power play that scares the defense on the ice. Now, I'm going to tell you, until the cows come home, until they get that player, it's not Giroux, it's not Voracek, it's not James Van Riemsdyk. They need a stud on that power play that can shoot the puck. There is no one that scares anybody on that power
play. Okay, who do you give me an example of a guy that you want?
Patrick Laine.
Okay, who, by the way, just went 21 games without a goal.
I know.
And was like a minus 13 in that period of time. Is that the guy you want?
Jason, tell me about the power play in the playoffs last year. Tell me how
it sucked.
That power play was.
It sucked.
All right?
It did. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm telling you, though.
A bad ilk. That's all I'm telling you.
Okay, but you got to realize, too. Here's the thing. When you have a guy like that either A, they're really inconsistent, so you can get him, and he'll go 21 games without a point. Literally 21 without, right? Or if you want a guy that's consistent, that nobody's giving them up.
Gotcha.
What do you think, they grow on trees?
I'm just telling you, Jason, you can't keep trotting that same power play out there with that same setup year after year after year.
I don't disagree with you.
It's
mind you, their power play right now, the Flyers' power play, is ranked. It's in the middle of the pack. It's in the middle of the league. It clicks at exactly 20%.
And number two, they need to establish an identity. They have no identity.
Totally
agree.
They are
the softest team to play against. I'm telling you, the softest. They are
marginal. Well, last year that wasn't the case. You know, when they went out and they got Derek Grant and Nate Thompson at the deadline, they brought a little bit of that in, but obviously they didn't re-sign either of them, right?
But I would like, as you said, you hit the nail right on the head. They need to get a right-handed shot defenseman to play with Provorov.
Mm-hmm.
They also need a backup goalie that if Carter Hart falters at all next year, you can play, have a goalie that can go in there and play games and not worried about getting tired out. Brian Elliott is 36 years old. He cannot withstand more than 25 to 30 games a year. It's just, he's proved it out. Great guy.
Yeah,
nice,
I agree.
Nice guy, but they got to find a guy that if for some reason Hart falters, they got a guy that they can put in there that can play and carry the team.
Yeah, right now, the mindset with Elliott was right in the sense that, thanks for the call. I appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
The mindset with Elliott was right because, hey, you got a young goalie, you're going to play him a lot. But that was with the expectation that Carter wasn't going to struggle. And you're right. You got to have a guy that you can pop in there. Absolutely. Here's the thing, too. And this I think this is really important. Like, I know people want to get a guy like Patrick Laine. I understand. And he's a freak show. Total freak show. Incredible talent. He's got a lot of mutt in him. And if John Tortorella can't get him to play, then I don't know who can. And I look at Laine and I go, okay, he's got that one very unique unicorn skill, which is a release that's Ovechkin-esque. Now, it's not even fair for me to use his name in Ovechkin's same sentence. Look, he had 44 goals in year two. 44 in 82 games. This is 2017-18. He had 30 the year after, 28 the year after that. This year, total, what does he have? Total this year, he's got 12. He had two with Winnipeg where he was very short. They're very short this season. And then he's got 10 total with Columbus.
He's about as hot and cold as you can get.
Yeah. And see, that's the point. And I know people, you want to grab a pure goal scorer and all that, but those guys are so, so inconsistent. You need a guy that can play both sides of the puck.
That so you don't example, want a little bit more consistency as well.
His last 16 games, he's got 3 goals and 2 assists. 16 games. He went for... And he just had 2 goals last night, by the way. So let me take that one out of the equation, okay? So he had a good game. He went coast-to-coast on one last night. The prior 15 games, he had a whopping 3 points, was minus 6. And let me tell you, he doesn't defend. He's not helping you that way. And what you're going to have to pay him north of 10 mil? You going to pay for that? Because if that gets cold in the playoffs, I'm dead too. Only I'm dead more because I can't play him defensively. So I need to get a guy. I don't need a guy like Patrick Laine, but I need a selfish SOB with the puck that goes, when I get it within 12 feet of the net, if you're out there on the rush with me, just know to put your head down and go to the blue paint because I'm shooting. If I get to this area, I'm shooting. I'm not passing anymore. I'm not going to pass to you. Sorry. I'm going to shoot. I may be a selfish player for wanting to score that goal, but that's what I want to do. I want that guy. Max Pacioretty. I want a guy that can score. That goes, I get the spot, I get the puck there, I'm shooting. Instead of, I'm trying for the perfect pass. Does that make sense, Nat?
Absolutely, yeah. And I asked this question earlier. Like, don't you want a little bit more consistency? Now, Patrick Laine, I appreciate what he can do for your game. But the season after he scored 44 goals, most of his goals came through a stretch of 8 games in November of that following season. So I want consistency on this Philadelphia Flyers team, not all this hot and cold BS. No, like, can we just have consistency? Now, the Flyers are consistently bad defensively right now. And that's okay. I think that's, not easy to fix, easier to fix than inconsistency. So that way, once they get consistently good, then they can actually make a deep playoff run.
Consistently inconsistent right now. That's the best way to put it, probably, right?
And that's probably the worst spot you can be in.
Yeah.
Consistently inconsistent.
Well, who knows what the heck tonight's game has in store for us. We'll find out. It's coming up at the top of the hour. Tim Saunders and Steve Coates will have all the play-by-play action as it's Flyers Capitals. Caps made a couple big deals. Anthony Mantha also got Michael Roffel. So they're pushing all in for another cup. And meanwhile, the Flyers sell mode for the most part. Extension and sell mode. All right, that's going to put a wrap on Flyers Weekly. We'll come back. We'll give you the Flyers pregame show leading into the Flyers Capitals game and the countdown to face-off with Tim and Coatsy. But everybody, thanks for listening to Flyers Weekly. Thanks to all those who called. I appreciate it. Flyers Weekly is presented by AAA, always open for the assist. We'll be right back. Flyers pregame show coming up right after this on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.